Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, who is love for us. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson, Matthew 5. Jesus gives us a wonderful epiphany of true love, his love for us. We pray. Lord, ever pour out the Holy Spirit upon the church and open our ears that we would hear your word, for you have the words of eternal life, and receive that word with great faith and joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you in Bible class this morning can answer this question if you listen. Martin Luther once proclaimed quite loudly, "It is not human. Ah, it is truly not human." And what was Martin Luther talking about? It's not human. He was talking about the gospel lesson today when Jesus says, "Love your enemies." And Martin Luther said, "It's not human to love your enemy." Ah, it's not human to love your enemy. You want to get your enemy and make your enemy pay. That's human. And yet the Lord says in the gospel lesson today, love your enemies, and gives us examples of loving our enemies. And it seems way out there. It's too radical. It's far-fetched. No one's ever going to do that, Jesus. Let me today talk about living as a Christian in this evil world where there's evil all around us and we have enemies. If we don't have specific enemies, then we have evil around us, of people that would harm us and insult us and mock us and yell at us and curse at us and steal from us and rob us and everything else. There's evil all around. We know that. How does a Christian live in an evil world where we do have enemies? They don't like us. We don't like them a whole lot. Well, there are three responses a Christian can have towards evil. Two of them are human and temporally okay, but one is divine and goes on forever. For the greatest of these is love, and love ever endures. First of all, with our enemies and living in an evil world, we can just leave our enemies alone. Avoid our enemies. Avoid evil. Run from it. You stay on your side, we'll stay on our side, and just leave each other alone so we prevent further conflict and anger and fighting and killing. Just break apart. Leave each other alone. This is the response that Jacob kind of had to Esau. If you remember your Old Testament, Jacob stole the birthright from his brother Esau, and Esau hated Jacob. And what did Jacob do? He ran. Get away. I don't want my brother to kill me. And he stayed away. It worked out okay, temporarily. This is the response of David to Saul. Saul is the king of Israel, and David, of course, killed Goliath, and all the people love David. So Saul becomes jealous. He hates David. And what does David do? He runs away. David runs away. He avoids Saul at every cost, hiding in the hills of Judea. It won't even harm Saul. Stay away. You stay down there, Saul. I'll stay over here. They have each other's paths here. It worked out temporally, but when you just leave your enemy alone and he's over here and you're over here, there's still no peace. And often you become angrier and angrier at your enemy, wondering what he or she is doing to plot against you, and they become angrier and angrier at you and hate you, wondering what you're doing to plot against them. And bitterness rages and grudges, and there's no peace. Then along with that, there's worry and fear. Just what is my enemy plotting? I'm kind of worried about him or her and what they're plotting. And they have fear against you too. What are you plotting? Who's behind my back, ready to stab me in the back? It doesn't really work. There's no real peace. And praise be to our God that he didn't use this strategy. Let's just avoid each other, evil world. You're my enemies because you disobey me all the time. You stay down here, and I'll stay up here. We'll draw a line. See y'all later. And we all have a miserable life, fearing God, trembling, terrified of our God, and we're all going to be in hell. It doesn't work the human way. Another human way to deal with enemies is to apply the law. Get the law involved. We can do this personally, applying the law, as Jesus mentioned, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So you hit me, I hit you back, and we're even. You pluck out my eye, I take out your eye, and we're even. You insult me, I will insult you, we're even. Payback feels awful good, and maybe I pay you back a little worse than what you did to me, because it'll feel really good to me, won't it? Applying the personal law. You rob, I'll rob. You do to me, I'll do to you. That's just justice. That's life. Or you can get the police involved. And that's a better way, obviously. Someone steals from you, they harm you, they assault you. It's good to get the police involved. And Jesus is not saying you can't get the police involved with enemies at all. There's a whole other section of the Bible that talks about the need for government and police to protect us against evil. And so you apply the law that way. You have the person arrested. You sue them and get some money out of them to try to make it fair. You have them put in jail. Yeah, that's all good. It works kind of temporarily. Luther liked the example of Peter when Christ was arrested. What did Peter do? He tried to apply the law. He got out his sword, the great hero Peter. And I chopped off the ear of Malchus, the law. You're going to arrest my Savior, I'm going to make you pay for it. And it didn't work out real well. Jesus said, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. It's lacking. Even if you apply the law and you get the police involved, you go through the proper channels, which is, again, is sometimes we need to do that. Still, there's no peace. There's no reconciliation. They're in jail, or you are in jail, and there's fear and there's worry. What happens when they get out of jail? And you still probably hold on to a grudge of what they did to you. And you sure hope they pay for it in jail. Because that's justice. And that's the human way. But there's no peace. And there's no reconciliation. The law, we say, the first use of the law, God gave us the law, the Ten Commandments. And we say the first use of the law is the curb. And the law can slow down evil a little bit. It can put boundaries on evil, but it doesn't stop evil. We all know that. It's like the curb on the street that you drive on. The curb is there to keep you on the road from going off and hitting someone or crashing into a house. And so it has a good purpose, but still people go over the curb and create wrecks, or over the yellow line and create a wreck and people die, or they crash into a house or something else. It doesn't really work in the end. No, the response of our God to evil and to his enemies is not just to leave them alone or to apply the law. But what's the other L word of the day? It is to love your enemy. Love your enemy. Say with me. Love your enemy. It's not too radical, is it? Yes, it is. It's not human. Say it again. Love your enemy. Because when you love your enemy, then there's a great opportunity for peace. And in love, you make your enemy your friend, where he or she is no longer an enemy. They're a friend, and there's peace, and there's joy and celebration. You're not worried about them. They're not worried about you, but you love each other. You're friends. And that's the kingdom of God, and that is heaven. What to do about evil? You transform evil people to be good people as you give them faith in the Holy Spirit. That's what you do about evil. You make your enemies your friends by loving them and forgiving them and giving to them. That's peace and harmony. And everything that Jesus talks about here specifically, he does in his suffering and death. He's talking again a revelation, an epiphany of his suffering and death, which is approaching in Matthew 5, a little ways down the road. But he is slapped. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. This is Jesus. He was slapped and mocked and spit on. Yet no retaliation. He forgave and forgave 70 times, seven times. He was slapped so that we be hugged by our God and we receive the kiss of peace from our God and communion and we're forgiven. He's slapped so that we're hugged eternally. That's love. That makes us God's friends. Jesus not only gave his tunic and his cloak. Yes, he gave that. He was stripped bare at the cross. He gave his life. He gave his hands. He gave his feet. He gave his eyes, his hair, his head, his body, his soul, his heart, every breath, every heartbeat. He gave himself for us. Now that's love, friends. And he did it all willingly to reconcile, to pay for our sins. Won't you be my friend? Don't you know I forgive you? Have faith. There's peace. You're my friend. Let's not worry about each other or fear each other any longer. He's the one that walked the extra mile, forced by the Roman soldiers to carry his cross to Mount Calvary, Golgotha. He couldn't even carry the cross because it was so heavy that he had to enlist Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross. But he walked that extra mile. He didn't stop halfway and say, forget it, I'm not going to die for anybody. But he hung on a cross. He went through hell for us. He walked from heaven to earth down into hell for us, if you will. That we can walk on gold streets. We can walk through pearly gates. We will ascend on the wings of angels into heaven. That's love. That creates reconciliation. That's peace. It's not human. It's not human to love your enemy. But it is divine. It's God's love in Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Join me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And one more time. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves his enemies and has made us his friends. Let us now go forth to love our enemies. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.